Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. What God has for you is for you. You can try to change this situation if you want, but if it ain't God, then it ain't for you. I like that because whatever God has for you, nothing can stop you from receiving it. Nothing can stop you from having it, and nothing can stop you from being blessed by it. Because God has already predestinated and preordained and chosen that it's yours. Therefore, all you have to do is do what? You have to stand and you have to believe God. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 50th. We'll start with the 59th verse. Backtrack a little bit, but we'll start with the 59th verse. Amen. Matthew 27 and 59. Remember, what God has for you is for you, and what's not is not. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. It says what? We're talking about Joseph of Arimathea. It says Joseph took the body which he had asked for, and God allowed it to be placed into his hands. He wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in his own rock. What God has planned for you, no one can stop. What God had planned for Jesus, it didn't matter what the scribes or the Pharisees had planned for him. They could not stop the plan of God. God had already went before him and made him a sepulchre, already made him a tomb. God had already prepared everything for Christ from the beginning to the end. So if he prepared everything for him, why wouldn't he prepare everything for you? If God made provisions for him, he'll make them for you also. There is something that God has planned for your life that you may not even know of. But everything that you're going through in all of your trials is to get you to that point. As long as you remember that through your trials you praise, through your trial you worship, and through your trial you continue to seek the face of God. Never stop seeking or running after the Lord, regardless of what you are going through. Here we have Joseph of Arimathea. And see, God has everything for you. Joseph was a rich man. He wasn't a poor man. Joseph was a rich man. God ain't going to just give you anybody. God just not going to give you anything. Whatever God has for you is going to be the best. How many hear me tonight? It's going to be the best. God could have used anybody, but he used Joseph. And the funny thing about Joseph was he was afraid. He was one of those secret Christians. How many understand that? He was a secret Christian. Didn't nobody even know he was born again except for Jesus. God will use the very thing that you think the less of to bless you with. Now here he is, Joseph Arimathea. Here his man is. Rich with all money, has the power and the ability to go to the king and say, look here, how about you let me have Jesus' body? He wouldn't have released that body to anybody unless it was somebody with authority, or in other words, with money. Joseph's money talked. When he asked for the body, it was released to him. He dressed him in fine linen and clothed him. Why? Because what was for Jesus was for Jesus. What God had planned for his life had been planned for his life. And there was nothing that could stand in the way. Here is a brand new tomb that this man has honed out for himself. And you know, they said he did it, but you know he couldn't have done it by himself because it's rock. Well, if you think about it, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, he could only be comfortable where? In rock. Oh, y'all not hearing me tonight. I told you we were going to have some fun. He could only be comfortable in that which he represented. God had already made provisions for him to have a tomb that was in rock, a sepulcher. So they got him ready to place him in there and laid it in his own new tomb. They want you to know that it wasn't something cheap. Oh, y'all not hearing me. They want you to know that it wasn't something that was real cheap, but it was brand new. It was something fresh, never touched, never laid in, never touched by human hand or human body. God had prepared this place for him, and it hewn out in a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. After he rolled the stone to the door, he departed. That's why it's important that you study to show yourself approved, because you'll find out that it was more than just Joseph. Go to John, St. John. See, it's important that you understand something about everything that is going on. Everything that is going on that is for Jesus is for him. God has made provisions for. But things that God has made provisions for, he's got to have a witness. What is for you is for you. And can't no man stop it, but God will have a witness. Look at the 19th chapter and the 38th verse. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because of fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. But then there also came Nicodemus. How many remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus wanted to know, how can a man be born again if he couldn't come out of his mother's womb for the second time? And Jesus had to explain it to him. Nevertheless, these are secret Christians, folks that they hide from the Jews, don't want the Jews to know that they're actually born again. But now, because of what God has predestinated for Christ, they have come out of the darkness into the light. Because what is for Jesus is for Jesus. Therefore, they've come out of the darkness into the light and revealed themselves, and they've done this, and they came, Nicodemus, which the first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. They did this, but what you have to understand is this. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were what? Witnesses. They were witnesses. The Bible says, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there shall I be. It took two of them in order to have the presence of God to do what he had to do. So it was Joseph and Nicodemus who rolled the stone in front of the cave, in front of the sepulcher. So see, it took two of them. And if you read down and back into the book of Matthew, when it talks about the angels, it says that the angel, after the angel rolled the rock back, it says the angel sat on top of the rock. Whereas they departed, the angel sat on top of the rock. But if it took two witnesses in order to bury Christ, it took two witnesses in order to... There was two angels, not one. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound in linen, they placed him and all that. But you'll find out that there were two angels that came and removed the stone that sat there on the rock as Jesus was gone. Why? Because of the number of witnesses. Baby, when God does something for you, it's going to be witnesses. We brag about what God's done, but there ain't no witness. You need a witness. Because when you have witnesses that are of God, the presence of God will manifest itself in your midst. So as they removed the stone and Jesus is on his way, and Jesus, the number of witnesses, whether they're two or three, you have to understand something. God does things in decent and in order. If you remember, it was in the garden where man fell. Here we are in the garden again, where man has the ability to redeem mankind. The sepulcher, whether you know it or not, was in the garden. The same garden that Jesus and the disciples went to pray. When you find yourself in a position where you are in the presence of God, whatever it is that God has for you is for you. Your troubles can't stop you from being blessed. Your trials can't stop you from being blessed. Nothing can stop you from being blessed. Nothing can stop you from receiving that which God has promised you. All you've got to do is where? Be in the presence of God. Be where God has called or ordained that you be at. If Nicodemus or Joseph had been any other place, they would have never been able to do the work that they did. If the angels had not come down, the two angels to roll back the stone, they would have never been able to see what the presence of God would be like. It's going to take a work. I'm trying to tell you that if you know what God has for you is for you, then you stand your ground. If you know that what God has for you is for you, then you keep seeking Him. If you know that what God has for you is for you, then you don't let anybody dissuade you or discourage you or make you turn your back on what God has promised you. There comes a time in your life when you have to lift up your eyes and look to the hills from which cometh your help and know your help is coming from God, realizing that your help is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you will understand that everything that God has for you shall be fulfilled if you stand, having done all to stand, and you keep standing and you fight the good fight of faith and you run this race with faith, understanding that nothing can destroy that which God has raised up. Old Mary and Martha wanted to know where Jesus was. Now, in place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man laid. There laid they Jesus before, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. What they wanted you to know is that God had this thing planned out from the beginning. Your life has been preordained and predestinated from the beginning. Whatever God has planned for you is for you. You know what I like about this, most importantly, sis, that even though we get in the way, we can't stop what God has for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad to hear that I can't stop what God has for me. No much as I trip up and mess up and screw up, that I can't stop what God has already preordained. Because what God has already preordained, He's already set it into motion. And what's already been set into motion is just waiting on my praise to get there, waiting on my worship to get there, waiting on me to move into the right place that I need to be. And I got news for you. Trouble don't come to destroy you, but it comes to make you. Trial don't come to destroy you, but it comes to make you. Trouble don't come to destroy you, it comes to make you. Tribulation don't come to destroy you, but it comes to prepare you for a greater place, for a greater realm in God. I got news for you. You better roll back the stone and realize that you are the rock that God has planted in this land. You are the rock that God has called. You are the rock that God has raised up. You are the rock that God has chosen. You are the rock that God has predestinated that you be conformed to the image of His Son. You are that rock. So you might as well be strong as the rock. It said, draw nigh at hand, the sepulcher. What is he saying? That because it was never a hand touched, they were close. You have to be close to the presence of God at all times. Amen. Go back to Matthew, the 28th chapter, the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Baby, let me tell you something. God will shake up the heavens and the earth to bless you. If God has something for you, whatever He's got to move, whatever He's got to shake, whatever He's got to tear down, He will tear it down, shake it down, break it down, so you can have what He's promised you. All He wants you to do is to be in the right place at the right time. And if you're anywhere and you're not in the presence of God, you are in the wrong place. You can be in your car and be in the right place. You can be in your home and be in the right place. You can be walking down 7 Mile and be in the right place. Long as you know that you're in the presence of the living God. What keeps you in the presence of the living God? Your faith and your praise and your worship keeps you in the presence of God. And therefore, you can always expect that God will supply and meet your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, what is for you and only you. Therefore, you stand and you fight and you trust and you believe God, because God honors nothing but faith. God caused a great earthquake for the angel of the Lord. Remember, there were two angels descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it. Now, you have to realize something. You have to look at the miracles that's already taken place. Now, it took two angels to roll back the stone. It says Nicodemus and Joseph put the stone in front of the sepulcher. How many see the miracle that's taking place? Two men put the stone there, but it takes two angels to move it. What God has for you, he will enable you and empower you to do it. If the stone is too big, God will enable you and empower you to move it. If you can't move it, he will send help. You can't never get worn out from trying, because God's going to send you some help. Nicodemus and Joseph, they were wore out from putting that stone there, but they couldn't go ask for help because they were still being secretive about who they were in God. But God said, I got news for you. I'm going to send some better help. He sent two angels, and to show forth their power, after they moved the stone, they sat on the stone, representing that they were now sitting and in the head, that Christ is the head of all things. And now they sat there glorifying God, and they were a witness unto God. And God didn't just send any angels. Huh? He didn't send anybody. He sent two of the most powerful angels. He sent Gabriel. You're the son of God. You're a child of God. God ain't going to just send any old angel. God going to send his strongest and his best angel to help you and to stand with you. Why? Because whatever is for you, God's going to send enough power so that it can be moved, so that you can have whatever it is that God has for you. I get excited sometimes because I know that nothing can stop God. That's why the word of God says all things are possible unto God. I like that word, possible. It covers a lot of territory. It covers earth, hell, heaven, and the air. Oh, my God. These angels, it said, and the Lord descended, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And see, there's another thing that most we don't see, that we don't notice. When it talks about it being two, when it says the angel of the Lord descended, but we know that there were two angels, it talks about the number of witnesses, but it talks about us also being one mind and in one accord. Meaning that we have to stand together and we have to fight together, because we are the body of Christ. This is the beginning of the word of God, where we become the body. Jesus didn't come for the body, but this is the beginning of the body. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And they rolled back the stones. And see, I don't know if you notice, the rock now has become a stone. Why would it do that? To take you back into the Old Testament, to tie in, because now Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. Hallelujah. He is the stone that the builders rejected. Why do you think you get rejected so much? Because you're the stone. You're the stone. Peter is the Petra. You are the stone. Why? Because you have the living God living on the inside of you. You have the principles and the concepts of God now manifesting in your life. Therefore, what God has for you is for you. And you know what I get excited about most of all, Sister Paula, is that what's for me is the nature and the character of God. And if I stand in the principles of God and I follow God, Sister Jew, I won't have what God has for me. Everybody stay. See, that was short, Brother Dennis. Because if I go another 5 minutes, you're going to be trying to remember what I preached the other 10. And so will I. We are the stone that the builder rejected. How many know that that stone that they put in that building was the chief cornerstone? That everything that was built off of that stone. To the east, the north, the south, and the west, everything was built off of that stone. Why? Because what God has for you is for you. So stop being discouraged. Stop being brokenhearted. Stop feeling defeated and recognize that whatever God has promised you, if you keep yourself in the presence of God, God will bring it to pass. My God. You can fall and still stay in the presence of God. Ain't nobody gonna tell you that because everybody wants to be holy. You can make a mistake and stay in the presence of God. You don't believe it? Read your Bible. David had people killed. But he was still the apple of God's eye. Solomon had 9 million wives. But God blessed his house. Why? Because God looks at your heart. And that's what God is seeing, that a whole lot of folks' hearts ain't right. But I thank God for the presence of God. And that God has promised us something. And what he's promised, I don't care how much you go through, the enemy can't stop it. Let me tell you something. I never thought in my life that I'd be where I am today. After all I've been through and all the mistakes that I've made and the slip-ups that I never thought in my life. But what God has planned for you, you can't even stop. Because it's not in your hands, it's in the hands of God. And once something gets in the hands of God, he shapes it and he reshapes it and he reshapes it and he reshapes it till he gets it to the point that he wants it to be in. Folks, we are standing in the presence of Almighty God. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. Folks are caught up in the wars and all this stuff and everything else. You better keep your mind on Jesus. Because regardless of what's going on around you in your neighborhood, in your country, if you keep your mind on Jesus, he will keep you in perfect peace. The word perfect in the Hebrew is translated mature.